T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
It's 6 a.m. Atlanta. Time to get your day started with John and Hugh.
Hugh Douglas.
Good googly moogly.
A three-time Pro Bowler. And John Fricke.
You got serious butthurt.
A man who's watched the Pro Bowl at least 3 times.
Boom shakalaka.
John, a man who covered the Atlanta Chiefs inaugural season.
And Hugh, who just keeps it real.
I'm good. I got pants on.
Let's get your day started, Atlanta. This is John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Did you have a chance to relax at all? Did you get a chance to relax? Because that's what I was trying to do all last night, thanks to my good friend Vito. He's an Italian guy. He likes to, yeah, that's what I was trying to do last night. Welcome to the morning show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game on this Tuesday. Cooler Tuesday, feels like fall out there, and a lot to get onto. We've got to shift gears a little bit today because we have Major League Baseball playoffs looming, which begin today, and for the Braves, they begin tomorrow. I'm glad I got that out of my system yesterday. That's all I can tell you. Hugh Douglas, that's all I can tell you, my friend.
Good morning, Atlanta. Good morning. Good morning, John. I don't know what you're talking about, John. What are you talking about, John?
It was a wellness check or two I'd be after the show yesterday.
What are you talking about?
I'm just talking about my reaction to the Falcons. That's all.
Oh, you mean when you were talking about you was up there telling everybody it was going to be all right and they still got a shot when nobody was trying to hear that? No, it's cool, John. I mean, I understand, you know, you're being positive. But, you know, sometimes, like I said, you know, you just got to let people vent, you know? Mm. I mean, it's just, you know, people going through a range of emotion. I had people on my timeline asking me about different coverages and if guys are suited for certain coverages and certain teams. And I, you know, sometimes you just got to just let people talk, man. Because, I mean, you know, everybody's trying to figure it out. Everybody has their own way of dealing with what they've saw or what they're seeing. And you just kind of, you know, let them do what they do. You know, you just kind of let people, you know, just react to it the way that they react. And then you come back after cooler heads prevail and you try to, you know, discuss it, have a little powwow or something, you know.
I know. And we have to move on. I mean, in a week, we got to go to – listen to me. Like, I got a mouse in my pocket.
You ain't playing. Right. You ain't playing. You ain't got no problems. Problem you have is you got to – you know, you just got to analyze. You got to kind of analyze what you saw. That's about it.
Yeah, they're off to Green Bay. And again, first things first, today the Major League Baseball playoffs begin today. And I don't know what's going to happen here. I do know that it's going to be a subject throughout the day. But not a whole lot's expected out of the Atlanta Braves. The first round is going to be so weird. Now, everybody understands, Hugh, that the Dodgers are the favorites, you know, and in the National League, they're overwhelming favorites. I get that. But, you know, when you're talking about 2 out of 3, you know, Hugh, anything can happen in 2 out of 3.
Yeah, and if I'm not mistaken, Cincinnati pretty hot right now, right? I mean, they're pretty hot right now. So
yeah, pretty hot.
You can't take them lightly. You know, even though it's a 3-game series, you can't take them lightly.
Got
to handle.
Got a great pitching staff. They're coming in with tomorrow with the presumptive Cy Young winner starting. Matter of fact, I don't think he's even presumptive. I think he's they're going to win fairly handily, win the Cy Young. But we're going up against our guy who is probably going to finish third in the Cy Young voting, and he's pretty good too. Braves can hit the ball. Cincinnati, they're the worst hitting team in baseball. Their team batting average is .212. That's their team batting average, .212.
Yeah, but you know, in the playoffs is something different though. I wouldn't count on that being the thing. I mean, you know, hey, anybody get hot at any time. So yeah, you just be prepared. I guess that's the best thing I can say to you.
Look, everybody in Atlanta's prepared, you. Everybody, we're all prepared. You can tell that, you know. No, it's Atlanta. We're going to look, because I put it up there yesterday. I threw it out there, you know. I mean, what are we going to do, basically? And people are like, yeah, well, we'll choke. Okay. You know, we just got to that point, you, where we're just, we can't have nice things.
I mean, yeah, people are a little frustrated. I mean, I get it. But, I mean, you know, you got to be optimistic. I'm pretty sure when it's all said and done, the fans will be there, and they won't be there technically, but you know they'll be invested, you know, because right now everybody's kind of, you know, still reeling a little bit, you know, the reality of the situation. Yeah.
Oh, sure, of course they are. I mean, it's the latest in, you know, a long string of letdowns. So what did you make of the game last night? Kansas City, a little bit of a statement by Patrick Mahomes or no?
I felt like, you know, as much as Lamar Jackson has grown as a quarterback. It, to me, the biggest thing that I took from that game, John, is you still need to win from the pocket. You still need to play football from the pocket. Even though, you know, you had two quarterbacks that have a wealth of athletic ability. One you saw struggle throwing the ball a little bit, and it wasn't all on him. You know, a lot of his receivers dropped balls. They dropped a lot of balls. You know, and I don't know if that was because they were coming 100 miles an hour or whatever it was. But, you know, they did not help him out at all. And, you know, when he ran, sometimes you could just tell, like, you know, they were prepared for that, you know, with the spy and everything. So that's what I got from him. You still need to win from the pocket. I mean, Lamar Jackson's going to be okay. He's going to be okay, but you still need to win from the pocket.
A couple of wild stats from this. You know, Lamar's out there talking about how the Chiefs are a kryptonite to him. Lamar in his NFL career, and it's been very short, obviously, the stats are what you make of him, but take this. As a starting quarterback, Lamar Jackson's record against Kansas City and Patrick Mahomes is now 0-3. Okay, he's 0-3. Do you know what? I'm asking the audience you. Take a wild guess. He's 0-3 against Kansas City. What his record is as a starting quarterback in his short career against everybody not named Kansas City? Well, his record is 21-1. It's like, okay.
Yeah, because they playing well, John. They make him beat you. They make him do what he's still kind of, you know, learning how to do. And that's beat you from the pocket. That's that Steve Spagnuolo. That's the Jim Johnson disciple. He was there. He was with me. He was the secondary coach when I was with the Eagles. And, you know, we ran Jim Johnson's defense, and that's basically what it is, making him beat you from the pocket. You know, he can run around and scramble a little bit. And I'm pretty sure that they had a game plan where, you know, he scrambled a certain way, you know, because he can't throw that way. But, yeah, they had him game plan, and they had a spy on him, and it was tough for him to get going. You still got to throw the ball from the pocket, though.
Well, watching Mahomes, Brett Favre was kind of a seminal quarterback in some regards because he did things that other quarterbacks we had never seen done before. He'd throw off the wrong foot, he'd throw off backpedaling, and he still had the arm strength and the touch to make passes that – you know, it was thought you had to step up into the pocket, get on your back foot, throw off, you know, I mean, it was every other quarterback in the history of the NFL until this guy comes running around, and we first saw it, you know, where he's throwing the ball out here, and he could still snap his wrist and make the pew. That was what Favre could do. Now, he made bad decisions, threw a lot of interceptions, but he won a couple of titles. And in the process, what we see in Mahomes is a little bit of that.
He only won one.
Well, he only won one, but he won one. But, you know, Mahomes, we see that too. He could throw, Hugh, sidearm, snap it on the move, on the left, off his back foot. It doesn't really much matter. It's uncanny how accurate and how just his ability to throw in any kind of predicament, you know, and make it work is, you know, not only make it work, but be so precise, it makes him almost impossible to defend at times.
Yeah, and it also helps you got some good, pretty damn good receivers too that go out there and get that thing. You know, Sammy Watkins. Who else made a big play last night? McCole Hardman. McCole. What's his last name?
Yeah, Hardman.
Yeah, Hardman. Man, listen, they got some speed out there. They had some speed out there on that field last night, there, sir. It was a lot of speed out there. It was some. What they call them? Some burners. Some speed burners. Some speed merchants. That's what they call the old folks call them. Speed merchants. It was some speed merchants out there.
Yeah, they went out and got McCole Hardman. They drafted him because Tyreek Hill was injured, and they were worried they were going to be missing that. And then Hill got hit. Okay, you're right. Somebody pointed out that Pat Mahomes, who, by the way, went over 10,000 yards last night, fastest quarterback in the history of the NFL to get to 10,000 yards, is the only person in America who's having a great 2020. Because in 2020, all he did was win a Super Bowl, become Super Bowl MVP, sign a $500 million contract. He got engaged, and last night he went over 10,000 yards. His year is pretty good.
Yeah, he winning. He winning, no question. I mean, you know, he's doing all right. He's probably sleeping real good at night, stress-free. He's probably stress-free than a mug. So, yeah, he's doing okay for himself. No doubt about that.
So here we go into Tuesday. Baseball playoffs do begin today. American League begins today. And then the Braves will play tomorrow. It's a noon game tomorrow. That's kind of an unusual time for a midweek game.
Well, at least we get it in. We'll be able to get it in a little earlier. Ain't today Tell the Truth Tuesday? Ain't that what it is today?
Yep.
Okay, so we get to figure out what, you know, we get to hear that today. That'll be pretty interesting.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be interesting.
I'm somebody Ranch, somebody no sent me, I guess Dirk Cutter spoke yesterday.
He did?
And he was talking about, I guess, the decisions that were made during the game, and somebody sent it to me, and they weren't too happy about what he said. And I didn't respond to it, but I thought it was kind of interesting.
Yeah, we're going to get into that. We're not going to be – it's like, we're going to hold back on some of the stuff because we got a lot of good stuff to get into today. And we'll talk a little bit about the Braves, and we're going to talk about Dirk Cutter and what he said, and we'll get into it. There's a lot of frustration up at Flowery Branch right now, and everybody – you know, Hugh, you've been in this situation. You know what it's like when you have to kind of, circle the wagons a little bit because, you know, everybody, you're under fire, you know?
You got that old Tupac adage, you against the world, like, because that's what it is. Nobody believes in you. And rightfully so, because you really haven't done anything to make anybody believe in you. So, I mean, I get that. I get that part of it, you know, coming from the fan base, because they're frustrated. And, you know, people are tired of rooting for you when you're not giving them nothing to root for, you know. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's a tough spot to be in, no question about it. But, you got to play. You got to go out there. You got to do your job. You got to figure it out. So, hopefully, you know, they'll figure it out. You know, it was funny, John, because I was thinking, I was like, this is probably the game, and I know it's a little early, and I might change my mind, but this is the game where you think that, as bad as it looks, this is the game that the Falcons might put together and win. Like, seriously, I was thinking about that. I'm like, stranger things have happened, and this could potentially be the game where everything clicks for them. And that's not me trying to give anybody hope.
Right.
That's just me thinking about, man, this has been so crazy. This would be the game. This would definitely be the game.
Well, you know, and a couple of things would lead you to believe that. Hey, again, the Falcons are not a bad team. You know, they get a little bit healthier here. One thing is true. They have – Aaron Rodgers has not fared well against the Falcons historically. I mean, the Falcons have kind of had his number in a lot of cases. So, I mean, the Falcons are not scared of going to Green Bay. They've won plenty of games going to Green Bay.
Yeah, you're going to talk yourself into that one, though, huh?
And they're no fans. Just,
you know, yeah, I was speculating, but you're going to talk yourself into
80,000 people? Nah, not so much 80,000 people screaming at you.
You're against the world, baby.
No cheeseheads in the stands. There'll be people over at Title Town watching on TV, but so what? You know, I mean, yeah. All right, we are rolling into a Tuesday. A lot to talk about today. Braves, how the pitching matchups kind of work. Postseason honors coming in Major League Baseball. We'll talk about that. Plus, we'll get into a little bit of the morning mashup. Oren's back. He's got some interesting headlines from over there. Congratulations to you folks in Tampa. You won a Stanley Cup. And you're having a pretty good year down there. Rays are having a good season. Bucks are having a good year. You just won a Stanley Cup. It's good to be a Tampa fan right now. And much more. Andre Rison said something about the Falcons, too, that we're going to play next. It's the morning show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92 on the game. Don't go anywhere. We're going to have a lot of fun over the next 4 hours as we break everything down. Take a big deep breath after what happened yesterday. Okay, I'm speaking to me. We'll get back to it with the MASH after a CBS Sports Minute.
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
As you wake up on Tuesday, same as it ever was at Flowery Branch, a little bit of angst, obviously, over an 0-3 start. But if you were expecting that we would be talking about major changes, those did not happen. So we see what happens next Monday night at Lambeau Field against the Green Bay Packers, and we just move forward. It's all we can do right now. Morning mashup time with Oren holding down the fort at the mothership at 14th and Peachtree, and back, and we're so glad to have him back. Oren, interesting reactions yesterday. I'm kind of curious because, you know, we get a chance to
back,
talk to you. What was your kind of initial reaction to all of this?
To?
The Falcons.
Oh, 0-3. Initial reaction being 0-3? Yeah. I mean, it sucks. That's, I mean, you can't really get them. We don't have any wins. I say we as in like, but the no, this team doesn't have any wins. Anytime you're winless, no matter if it's blowout losses or close losses, no matter what it is, I mean, it's disappointing. It's just from a purely foundational standpoint, like, you don't want to be 0-3. You don't want to be 0-anything in the NFL. Like, you always want to have wins. Wins are they give you optimism, and they give you hope. When you don't have any wins, it's a lot of despair right now, a lot of anger, a lot of angst, and that's where we are. Like, we don't have any wins. That's just start right there. It sucks.
Yeah. And, you know, people right now, you know, because tickets are being sold out there right now for some of the games, Hugh, that are going on later in the season, and people are like, you know, talk to the hand. I'm not paying to go see that team.
Oh, nobody going. Yeah, it's going to be rough. It's going to be rough going for a while, man. It's going to be tough sledding. But, you know, it's going to be some diehard. Some diehards are going to go. You know what I mean? It's a tough spot. It's a tough, tough spot to be in right now. No question about it. But some diehards are going to go. I still know some Falcons friends. I still know Falcons fans that are friends of mine that are still ride or die.
Well, we'll be ride or die. I'm ride or die, I guess, and mostly die. Let's go to the morning mashup story number one.
That's a weird way to start the morning mashup.
Yeah, really
about
weird.
The death
really
there, John. Okay.
Right now.
Moving right along. You guys know there was a Stanley Cup clinching game last night?
Yes.
I'm not dissing hockey. It's been tougher to pay attention to hockey this year with their bubble sort of. I will say this, the Stanley Cup playoffs are by and large probably the most competitive brand of playoffs we have in professional sports. Like, you will see eights beating ones. You will see 3-1 comebacks. You will see that. That's not the most uncommon thing to happen in Stanley Cup playoffs. But
yeah, because it's all about the goalie and how high he gets just, at what time.
Just
yeah,
the way it is. And it's the majority of those games end in, like, one-goal deficits, or they'll go into quintuple overtime or something. But last night, though, Tampa Bay, you mentioned it earlier, John, celebrating Tampa Bay. They won a Stanley Cup title last night over the Dallas Stars. 2-0 victory, and this is what it sounded like when they got the trophy.
There's no harder championship to win. The gauntlet that you have to run to hoist this trophy is unbelievable, and never more unbelievable than this year. These guys have been away from home for more than 2 months. This has been the ultimate team effort. This Stanley Cup run will go down in the record books as perhaps the hardest run of all times. You guys should all be incredibly proud. This has been an amazing accomplishment. It is my honor to present the Stanley Cup to Stephen Stamkos.
And that noise provided by the Tampa Bay team, because, again, it championships being won in empty arenas and empty stadiums is going to be
weird. Yeah,
that's weird.
That was weird. I mean, because you can hear everybody. You know, and it's funny because last night watching the, you know, football game, you can hear the quarterbacks going in their cadence. You can hear everything. You know, even though they had the little background noise in there, you can hear everything. So, yeah. I mean, this is definitely going to go down as, you know, one of the strangest championships. But, you know, it won't be forgotten. It'll never be forgotten, ever.
Well, I will say this, that, you know, for anybody who thought that you know, as we begin the baseball playoffs, that there would be an asterisk, because I think a lot of people did, Hugh. I mean, and we thought, you know, okay, this will be an asterisk kind of year. Nobody will really care. You know what? You know, now you see Tampa raising the trophy there, and, you know, you see golfers do the same thing, you know, when they're raising, you know, championship trophies. You know what? They're no asterisk. Okay, they're no asterisk.
No, I never thought that. I never thought that for a minute. I mean, you know, given the struggles that people have had, you know, just to play, no, I never thought that in a million years. I never thought that at all.
Morning mashup story number two.
All righty, we'll stay with the NFL. We had the Monday night game last night. The Chiefs upending the Ravens of Baltimore. And Hugh, was there a team when you played in the league that you just knew that no matter what you did, no matter how good you guys were, how well you played, how well the team played, how well five played, how well anybody played, y'all just couldn't ever get past them?
It was one year. It was the Giants. the Giants were that for us 1 year because we played them in the playoffs. We played, you know, they beat us twice during the regular season, and then we played them in the playoffs and they beat us. So that would be the closest thing to me what you're talking about. You know, that team that, you know, no matter what you did, you just couldn't get past them.
Well, for the Baltimore Ravens, they are sort of like Pedro and the Yankees. They have met their match, and this is what Mr. Lamar Jackson had to say about facing the Kansas City Chiefs.
We always start cranking up at the wrong time. We got to come in and finish how we start. Like, we always go opposite, I guess, against them for some reason. We just got to tighten up and play better, that's all.
Called them his kryptonite. That wasn't in that cut right there, but he said that the Chiefs are their kryptonite.
Mm-hmm. He need, like, from what I saw last night, is they did a great job of spying on him. And, you know, his receivers didn't help him out early on. That's what I saw in the first half. A lot of guys were dropping balls. A lot of balls were being dropped. Some of them were overthrown. And he didn't have a great outing initially. But you know, it's one of those things, man, where, like I said, you got to be able to win from the pocket. Got to be able to win from the pocket. Because that's the game. It's still, you know, regardless of how many quarterbacks like to run and all this other good stuff, man, still got to be able to be competitive from the pocket. Got to still be able to quarterback from the pocket.
Morning matchup, story number three.
All righty. Now, we've talked about Dan Quinn and job status, and it's not the most pleasant conversation to have, especially when it's a team that you really, really like rooting for, a team that we have a rooting interest in here at the station. But if the Falcons were to make a move, there's a former player, former wide receiver, who has interest in the job and thinks that, you know what, he probably could do a pretty good job here, and that is one Andre Rison.
Is that not the case? Should Dan Quinn keep his job, or is it time to bring somebody else in there, get some fresh blood in as the head coach of the Falcons?
Hey, one just got hired at Jackson State. It's another one sitting here, sitting right in front of your face. I'm waiting on that call, waiting on that plug.
Yeah, you better laugh that one off. Hey, man, I can't see. Listen,
yeah,
I don't know what Andre Rison has been doing. I don't know if he has been coaching or anything like that, so I don't want to diminish his ability to coach. But I don't think that the Falcons are going to hire him to coach here. You know, I just don't think that's going to happen. I mean, I would love to see him. If that's what he really truly wants to do, then I wish him all the best. But no, I don't think that's about to happen.
Yeah, that ain't going to happen. Nope. Bad Moon's not being a head coach. If he wants to go to an HBCU like Dion did, you know, I guess, all right, sure, you know, but yeah, not in the NFL, not now. Yeah, no offense, we don't need to be taking any flyers. We got to get somebody that knows how to, you know, win.
I don't know. Like I said, I don't know his coaching background, so I don't want to diminish him as a potential coach because I don't know. But I don't think the Falcons would be looking to hire an ex-player that played here to be the coach. I don't see that's going to happen. I don't think that's going to happen.
All right, one more in the morning, Mash.
We're going to head over to the Mike Leach suite. I got a feeling that any time that Mike Leach speaks, we're going to have cuts from him. So this is Mike Leach talking about how it was weird seeing cardboard cutouts in Tiger Stadium.
I have to be honest, I haven't quite gotten the hang of the cutout people in the stands, you know. I mean, that's an episode of Twilight Zone. Some of you guys are probably all too young for Twilight Zone, but I mean the black and white Twilight Zone where Rod Sterling would get on there with the really creepy voice in the suit, and then all of a sudden, you know, is this real? Is it out of space? Is it it was almost like you know, haunted houses met science fiction, that show. And then now all of a sudden we have these people frozen in time sitting there in this stadium with enthusiastic expressions on their face, but they can't move. And then yet the noise. So I don't know. I mean, I, for one, I don't know if it's cool and people enjoy it, great. But that is a little surreal, the fake people in the stands.
We're going to love having Mike Leach in this league. He's going to be a lot of fun to you.
He's very verbose. He has he's very, very verbose. Very, 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 very much so.
Mike Leach is going to be a lot of fun, and especially if his team is good. Right now, they're pretty good. They just beat LSU up in Baton Rouge. say what you like about LSU and not having anybody back. When your quarterback sets an SEC record in his first game, that's a debut against the defending national champions and all. It is the Morning Show with John and Hugh on this Tuesday. We get it ready now. Of course, we shift gears to the Atlanta Braves and what's going to happen in the best 2 out of 3 against the Cincinnati Reds. And as we do, the discussion is heated up about some of the awards in the postseason. We'll touch on a little bit of that, too. It's all ahead. Is Freddie going to lock it down, or is there going to be a theft in the National League MVP? Not an upset, but a theft in the National League MVP. Next, as we continue with John and Hugh on the Morning Show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
The game.
Found the major leagues. Playoff picture coming into focus. Freddie shoots one deep toward left center field. That ball is headed to the track, to the wall, and it's gone! Freddie Freeman walks us off! You said it. That's what MVP moments are made out of.
Friday's home run to walk off against the Red Sox was a moment that, or was it Friday? We said that, you know, hey, Freddie has won this thing. You know, hey, how about that? You know, but has he really? Welcome back to the Morning Show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. There's a lot of discussion here as we begin the playoffs today, Hugh Douglas, about, you know, postseason awards. And a lot of us around here believe that Freddie should win the MVP. But, boy, you know, I was going through some of the odds and things of that nature. And, you know, there are a lot of people out there that are saying things like, well, you know, Mookie Betts did this and Juan Soto had that kind of year. You know, Hugh, if he doesn't win MVP, there's something like systemically wrong in the voting here, because it seems to me he should win it fairly easily.
Yeah, because I was looking at it and I was reading a story. I was reading a story. I think it was from the, SB Nation Talking Chop. And they were talking about how, on average, if we had played 162 games, that Freddie Freeman's performance would be better than Chipper Jones the year that he won it in 1999. They're talking about his war and everything like that and what he would finish with. And so it's one of those things where I think you had to take everything into account, John. I think that you have to take into account that this guy was battling COVID. He got off to a slow start. And then when he got out to this slow start, he just came on like gangbusters. I think all of that has to factor in. This has been a tough season on everybody. And when you look at what he had to overcome, you know, in order to be in the MVP voting, I think that has to count for something. I really do.
Yeah, and we could go through all the numbers and talk to you about numbers, but let's not talk about numbers for a second, because let's just talk about how you were able to perform. As you said, you know, you had the whole thing where he was out with COVID. And for a good chunk of the season, you know, short as it was, he didn't have Ronald Acuna at the top of the lineup. He didn't have Ozzie Albies, you know, batting second. They asked him to move up to the number two spot. And so he performed at every level in every category. He was really kind of the one guy that was really glued. Now, that's not to take away anything away from what Marcelo Zuna or Adam Duvall or Ronald or Ozzie or Duvall or anybody did in terms of Darnold. You know, all these guys contributed to what is a tremendous lineup for the Atlanta Braves. We understand that. But it was Freddie who was kind of the glue of the whole thing. I don't believe in, you know, awards that are given to people for, you know, lifetime achievement. You know, Clint Eastwood won an Oscar once for a movie called Unforgiven, which a lot of people said, which was named Best Picture. A lot of people went, you know what?
It was pretty good, though.
Yeah.
I remember that. It was pretty good, though. Unforgiven was pretty good.
Yeah, but there was a lot of talk about, well, this is more about like, okay, we got to give Clint, he's got to win an Oscar, he's Clint, you know, all right, well, here's our opportunity, you know, I mean, and I don't want anybody to look at it that way with Freddie. Oh, well, you know, he's got to win an MVP because, frankly, Hugh, Freddie Freeman is, at this point, he's going to Cooperstown. He's building that case.
Yeah, I mean, and you talk about the years that he has been close in voting. I think when he was like third and then it was like fifth or something like that. I can't remember the exact numbers, but he's been close a couple of times. And so you would think that a guy that has been close that many times, that eventually that he would get the nod for the MVP.
And it's interesting.
And this is probably his best case. This year is the best case for him to get it, though, John, to be totally honest.
What some people are saying is, and this is something that was first kind of flagged to us by our guy Chad Millman, who is our odds expert, about 10 days ago. He was on the show and he said, hey, you know, it may have been Ryan Spader, who is our baseball stats guy, who said, hey, by the way, be careful in the MVP voting, because the way, if you read it, the way right now, if you go to the national sites and read, you know, how's the MVP voting going to go? Well, it's like Freeman 1 and Betts 2, and they're talking about Soto, and they're talking about Tatis Jr., but nobody is talking about Marcell Ozuna, which is really weird, considering all he did was lead the National League in home runs and RBIs. But nobody's really talking about him. And Spader was talking about how Marcell Ozuna could steal votes away from Freddie Freeman, and suddenly Mookie Betts, who doesn't deserve to be the MVP, not over Freddie, not by any way does Mookie Betts deserve to be the MVP over Freddie. But that suddenly somebody else could win it only because Ozuna steals votes away from Freddie. I thought, well, if that happens, Hugh, there's something seriously wrong with how you vote.
Yeah, that would be kind of weird. But, you know, I guess that's just how baseball voters are. They can't, you know. They can't vote for you know, I guess the voting is all kind of screwy. So that did sound kind of crazy when you said that.
Yeah. So it'll be, you know, assuming that he is MVP, and I would hope that Freddie wins the MVP. It looks like Jose Abreu with the White Sox probably going to win it in the American League, you know, and then you got guys like Shane Bieber is going to win the Cy Young. In the National League, there's no expectation that Max Fried's going to win the Cy Young. He had a wonderful year. I think what you're going to see is you'll see the Cy Young winner pitch tomorrow at Truist Park, but it isn't going to be Max Fried. It's going to be Trevor Bauer. And so, and that's fine. I mean, Trevor Bauer's earned it. He is the Cy, in my opinion, I vote for Trevor Bauer too, even though Max Fried was 7-0 with an ERA of 2.25. And the only reason his ERA was 2.25 is because of that ankle and the two home runs that he allowed in his last start. Otherwise, he'd be under 2. Anyway. I'm not really worried about postseason awards, except to the degree that at times I think when our guys earn them, I want them to get them. I don't want them to get ripped off. And Brian Snicker, to me, won Manager of the Year and deserved it. You know, Joseph Martinez was the MVP and the best player in soccer, deserved it. The year that Matt Ryan won MVP, he deserved to be the MVP. I think Freddie has earned this MVP, and anybody else.
I would agree. When you talk about what Freddie's been through to get to this point and how terrifying that was for him and his family, I know that has nothing to do with it. And, you know, most people won't look at it that way. But I think that, you know, given the season that we've had, John, that you got to take that into account. I really do.
Well, I do too. I think you absolutely have to take that into account. It's not like he opted out, you know. I mean.
No, but he could have. You know, and then dealing with, you know, not knowing how the Cole was going to attack his body, for him to fight through that, I commend him for that. I really do.
Yeah, I mean, Orin went through it. Orin knows. I mean, Orin knows how frightening that is. I mean, he had to live it. I haven't, thank God, and you haven't, thank God. I think some people think, oh, you know, it's no big deal. You know, and for some, most people, it is probably no big deal. But for Freddie, it was a big deal. He even said, you know, there was a night that he was lying in bed and he was wondering, you know, what was fever was 103, 104.
Yeah, he knew like how I was going to hit. Yeah, he thinking. Yeah, I remember that.
So we'll see if Freddie wins the MVP again. You know, he led in so many, you know, those other categories. But if you're just looking strictly at numbers, I mean, Juan Soto had probably the best offensive year of anybody. Does anybody think Juan Soto should be the NL MVP? I don't. I mean, great player. I still wouldn't trade Ronald Acuna for him. That's how much I think of Ronald Acuna. I mean, the Braves have so many guys who are, you know, that's the other thing, Hugh. Their lineup is so deep and so good that, you know, boy, in any other year, Travis d'Arnaud would have been your team MVP. And any other year, you know, Adam Duvall would have been your team MVP. Or Dansby or Acuna or Ozuna or Freeman. Oh, man. I've never seen a lineup quite like this. And so that's what another thing that kind of concerns me. I mean, the Dodgers too, though. I mean, you can't sit here and say that Freeman's a product of the Braves lineup or that Ozuna's a product of the Braves lineup if you look at the Dodgers lineup, which is unbelievable. I mean, maybe even better than the Braves. So I just hope I hope he wins the MVP. I hope for his sake he wins the MVP. Now the bigger question is, are the Braves going to be able to advance along? Because you know what the only thing that concerns me, Hugh, is this 2 out of 3 that they're going to play.
Why does it concern you, John?
Because you don't win game one tomorrow, and suddenly your back is up against a wall.
Yeah, I mean, basically, and you know, we talked about, you know, the fact that Cincinnati has a pretty good pitching staff, and they're pretty hot right now. So, yeah, that is a little bit of a concern. But to your point, and I think you said this, you were kind of preaching it, that, you know, these bats are hot. So hopefully that tomorrow they won't go cold. I mean, that's what we're basically talking about. Hopefully tomorrow the bats don't go cold.
That's all you can hope. You're going to be going up against the best pitcher in the National League this season, maybe probably second best pitcher in baseball in terms of starters. He's had a remarkable year. He throws lots of strikeouts, and the Braves are prone, Hugh, to a lot of strikeouts. They are a home run heavy dependent team. What did the Braves hit, 102 home runs this year? They are not a station to station small ball team. They are load up and hit you a whole bunch of home run kind of team. So they're,
yeah, that's what you're talking about, the slugfest. They're a slugging team. They like to slug it.
Yeah, so you have to try to get to Trevor Bauer, try to get to him early, try and get into their pen, because once the Braves tend to get into people's bullpens, they tend to fare fairly well. One of the reasons they're such a great team from the seventh inning on. But, yeah, this 2 out of 3 is going to give us, look, the L.A. Dodgers are not immune to this either. Everybody talking about, well, the Dodgers are going to win the National League, they're going to win the World Series. They're playing the Brewers. Hugh, in a 2 out of 3, suddenly Milwaukee wins one, and you're – what does it mean? I mean, it's not a 7-game series. 7-game series, the Dodgers are going to win almost every time against the Milwaukee Brewers.
Yeah, I mean, it's all about the hot team. It's all about who's going to be the hottest at the right time. I mean, I get it. Definitely get it.
And that's what everybody's saying. The Reds are coming in here a hot team. All we have to do is cool them off. We've done that before. Braves are pretty good at cooling off teams. It's another thing that a lot of people aren't taking into account. Well, where do we stand? Dirk Cutter made some interesting comments yesterday. We have them. We're going to play them for you. Let you chew them up. Let you ponder them. We'll do that next on The Morning Show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 910 The Game, worldwide at radio.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.